This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. There are so many factors that go into finding a place to live. That choice can come down to which app you're using to browse or where you happen to be driving when you spot a rental sign at the perfect apartment. It's who you know, where you work, how you commute. Now, if you're part of Missouri's transgender community, there are even more challenges to housing, from changing federal laws to intolerant landlords. Since 2021, the Trans Housing Initiative St. Louis, or THISL, has been helping individuals through direct assistance and education. The group distributed more than $8,000 in aid this year, and it has plans to expand. Joining us now is THISL co-founder and executive director Beth Gombas. Beth, welcome.
Thank you.
And also with us is board member and co-founder, Maxi Glamour. Welcome to you.
Hi, thanks.
So let's start with how this group got started. Now, Beth, you have worked with multiple local groups that are helping queer and trans folks. Why did you want to pursue housing specifically?
Well, because I was working at so many of the other organizations, I noticed that the foundational issue that folks were having was housing instability. Housing is the foundation for health, employment, and safety.
And you were part of managing something called the Trans Queer Flat from 2016 to 2020.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It was a side project, actually, from the founder of the Metro Trans Umbrella Group, but it was not connected to the Metro Trans Umbrella Group. It was a two-story flat in Dutchtown, and we were able to house up to six individuals at a time, folks that were living in their cars, folks that had just been kicked out, folks who families had kicked them out, and things like that. I personally ended up at the Trans Queer Flat because I was escaping an unsafe domestic situation, and I needed somewhere to go very quickly, mm-hmm. like overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Overnight?
Yeah. I left. It was an unsafe situation. I waited until the person left for work the next day, and I moved out immediately.
Right.
I was gone when they came back from work.
How common is that situation where someone has to leave immediately when there is an opportunity that makes, well, you have to kind of create the opportunity, but when it makes itself available?
Mm-hmm. It happens often. It happens often. And unfortunately, there are lots of situations where between, you know, being homeless and dealing with being abused and discriminated against, a lot of folks are going to just face the discrimination and the abuse rather than be unhoused. Mm-hmm. And some people don't have a choice.
Now, Maxi, we've had you on the show recently to talk about what you were doing over at CAM with an opera. And folks are very familiar, I think, with your work as an activist, a drag and reality television performer. How did you get involved with housing work?
Yeah, I think, you know, just like Beth, being impacted and being community, we hear a lot of stories. And you know, when I was 17, I got kicked out of my house for dressing in drag. And then I lived with my drag mother, and we stayed in cars. And, you know, we saw a lot of survival sex work just to get motel rooms, and just seeing the living conditions of trans people in the area, recognizing this is like the lowest common denominator of like what we need to do to protect our communities. And so during the pandemic, we got on a Zoom meeting, like, we need to do something. We're not happy with all the organizations that are, what they are doing, so we need to step in and fill the gap, and we kind of did.
Mm-hmm. Was there something specific to what was happening during the pandemic that made it an urgency for you all to, you know, to come together and create THISL?
I think it was multiple things, right? I think people had a lot of racial awakening during the pandemic, right? We saw the racial dynamics within nonprofits. We saw their missions, and we saw them not being as intersectional as they said in their About Me section. And we also saw a lot of people who were still living in, you know, houses where there's a lot of domestic abuse and violence. And we saw mental health getting worse during the pandemic. And we were like, we really need to do something now.
Mm-hmm. If you have a question about housing for trans or queer people in St. Louis, we invite you to join this conversation. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. So one of the things that Thistle does is work on mutual aid. Beth, first, what was Thistle's approach to that?
Well, Thistle was co-founded right after the pandemic. Like Maxie said, we actually co-founded in 2021. And mutual aid was the very first program that we started. We were donated a generous $30,000 to start the organization, to get things going. And of that $30,000, I think we gave away $5,000 right off the bat for emergency rental assistance. Mm-hmm. And so it's our oldest and first and foremost program because it gets money into the hands of people that need it the most, folks that need emergency housing, folks that are living in their car, folks that are at risk of eviction. And so keeping people housed is, you know, a really effective way to impact what the community's needs are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mutual aid is what? How do you define mutual aid?
Well, it is community funds given back to the community, I mm-hmm. think. Maxie, would you agree?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times we see mutual aid and charity being words that are at odds with one another, but also we see sometimes they're being conflated with one another. And I think that sometimes we do see the mutual aid we're doing is giving to charity to the community, but I think it's just a little bit more than just giving people handouts, but just making sure that people can build themselves up. Because we don't just have mutual aid, we pay people to take classes, to learn about financial empowerment, about navigating the housing system. And so for us, mutual aid is not just giving people resources, but giving people resources that are with a trajectory.
Mm-hmm. And these are people who are directly impacted by these challenges that trans and non-gender conforming people are facing, right?
Beth? Absolutely. Yeah. Systemic inequalities.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you all are doing at Thistle, you know, you are focusing on this mutual aid and taking us again back to 2021. Because of what was going on with the pandemic, did that seem like the best way to get started?
I mean, Maxine? Yeah. I needed mutual aid. I know Regional Arts Commission was giving artists mutual aid just to, like, help people during the time because we couldn't work, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of trans people rely on drag. A lot of us rely on nightclubs and spaces where we feel safe. And when they're all closed, what are you going to do for financial empowerment? And so we saw, you know, financially empowering the community, our community, was immediate necessity.
Mm-hmm. There was also an early effort, as I understand, to study this issue, mm-hmm. and you eventually started a 6-week program with the City of St. Louis's Treasurer's Office. Tell us about that, Maxine.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times organizations and politicians, they do things because they think that that's what's best. And so we really wanted to do a people-centered approach. And so we did a qualitative analysis of looking at individuals and seeing that the needs that they wanted to be fulfilled and where they were. And we saw that the highest thing that people needed was money. The second thing that they needed was education and understanding how to get housing. And then there are a lot of other things that they needed, like immediate shelter. And we looked at that and we saw what is in the scope of our capabilities? What can we bring to the table? And so within that, we brought the mutual aid and then we brought, we worked with Adam in the Treasurer's Office to financially empower people and got people from being unhoused to owning houses. And so we saw the research show up to be a success in our chart.
Is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, I was just going to remind folks that when we have those classes with the Treasurer's Office and some of our partners organizations, we are paying trans people to be there. We are compensating them for their time to try to remove the barriers that they might have to take that extra time out of their day, to try to get the transportation to make sure that they're there on time. Child, making sure that they've got some child support of some kind so that they're able to attend. We've had folks bring their kids with them to some of our classes. And so it's really, like Maxie said, like a forward trajectory. Like we're not just like, hey, this is a trans-specific class. Like you are in a class of your peers, right? You're asking questions that are relevant to not only yourself, but your community and other people in the room.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the housing challenges facing trans and gender nonconforming people. We're talking with co-founder and executive director of Thistle, Beth Gombas, and Maxie Glamour, also a Thistle co-founder. They're also the organization's board president and an artist and performer. Before the break, we were talking about some of the supports that Thistle offers, not only through mutual aid, but also with education. And one of the things I feel compelled to talk about or to ask about is what you had said, Beth, about child support. I think that there's a temptation to think of trans and gender nonconforming people as individuals, not connected to families. But the family part is really important, right, Beth?
Yeah, absolutely. Trans folks do have kids. sometimes, like I said, they bring them to class and things like that. We've also had situations where when a trans person with their children are seeking shelter, there's really nowhere that will take them.
Why is that?
Because most or all of the shelters in St. Louis are gendered.
Mm-hmm.
They are separated into male and female, and we'll probably go into this maybe a little bit later. The federal protections that we have are supposed to make spaces for folks like that, even within gendered spaces. But we had an example, for instance, of an individual who is a trans man. And so he was a trans man and he had three kids. And when he needed shelter, also escaping a domestic violence situation, I might add, it was unsafe for him and his kids and he removed them from that situation. But they were even accepted and I think to the third shelter that they tried to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had unpacked and they were just starting to get to a sense of safety, it was late at night, and then a staff person came in and told them that there was some kind of mistake and they had to leave.
So that then leaves them out on the street.
Correct. They ended up having to go to a shelter over in Illinois that has those protections in place on the state level.
Mm-hmm. Does a lot of that happen crossing over a state line in order to get the help that they need, Maxie?
Yeah, St. Louis is hemorrhaging people, right? We're seeing a huge influx of queer and trans people moving to Belleville because it's close enough to an urban setting, but far enough away that they have, you know, state policies that protect them for abortion, for trans health care. We don't have federal regulations to protect trans people. Missouri's regulations are inexistent, except for in the city of St. Louis and the county, and even those aren't even properly enforceable, just the way that the courts are working. And so we see people leaving. We see people just wanting to find better spaces.
Mm-hmm. What has changed since the beginning of the Trump administration, Beth, that you feel is most relevant to the conversation we're having right now?
Yeah, so unfortunately, just a little bit of context about before the Trump administration, and I want to clarify a little bit about what Maxie just mentioned. Trans folks do have federal-level protections. We have federal-level protections because the Civil Rights Act, Title VII, has protections on the basis of sex. And in 2020, the Bostock versus Clayton County Supreme Court decision said that gender identity, gender expression are intrinsically tied to sex. So therefore, gender discrimination is sex discrimination. HUD took that information, and the EEOC as well took that information, and there was actually available widely on the internet an entire LGBTQ kind of housing packet that HUD put out there, including protections for transgender people seeking shelters, seeking housing, trying to become homeowners. Whenever the Trump administration came in and started changing a bunch of things, they scrubbed all of it from the HUD websites. And what I think is important to take from all of this is that the executive branch of government cannot just erase protections that have been put into place by Congress and the Supreme Court.
And yet, what are we looking at right now?
I think that we can see that the law is moot, right? Like, there's a law that says you can't smoke weed outside, but I know a lot of people who have, right? There's a lot of laws that say we need to protect people based off of their gender or orientation or religion, but we see that that isn't always the case. So we see the books, and then we see the people, and we don't see them aligned.
What are people facing right now? What are some of the things that people are coming to Thistle to get help with? Maxie.
They're acting out of desperation, right? There are a lot of people who call us and they're like, I don't have anywhere to stay right now. My partner is abusive. I need to get out. Or my mom found out that I was trans, or I was sexually assaulted and I can't be there any longer. And we find people who are in immediate need of help. And the city of St. Louis doesn't have enough beds, and the beds are gendered. And we see people not having, you know, jobs are really low for everyone, right? And especially if you are trans, especially if you are a non-passing trans person, right? And so we see people not having a lot of money, not having a good support system, and needing a lot of help, and the systems aren't there. And so even us, we're struggling to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what that results in is folks trying to apply for an apartment, for example, if they've legally changed their name. Sometimes a landlord will see two totally different names when they run that background check or that credit check, and they'll just assume that someone's trying to commit identity fraud, and they will deny them the apartment. Same with even if trans folks that have means, because it is a reality that we have systemic inequalities that we're facing, but not all trans people are broke.
Right.
Some people have the means to buy a house, and they want to buy a house. But then when they go to talk to a loan officer, they say there's two different names on your social security number. I can't include you on this loan.
Mm-hmm. What recourse is there for people if they are struggling with these things?
Unfortunately, that is the reason that Thistle exists. That
right.
is our mission, to try to address some of these systemic inequalities. And so we're doing that with a little bit of a three-tiered approach. We're trying to make sure that folks have like an immediate place, emergency shelter, right? The very basic, get a roof over your head. And then we're working with, folks that just need economic mobility. Maybe they have semi-stable housing, but they need it to be safer, or they're trying to, that's why we've got the economic wellness classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also trying to ultimately help folks become a home buyer for the first time. And so we started making relationships with real estate agents and loan officers, mortgage lenders, and things like that. So now they have a pathway to work with people who won't deny them a mortgage just because they've got two names on their social security number.
Right. So this group is now about 5 years old. What have you learned after these first years of the initiative, Maxie?
Wow, we've learned a lot, right? I think when you go into it, when you're creating a nonprofit, you have big dreams, right? You want to save the world initially, and then we have to really look at the scope of what part of the world can we save? What do we have capacity to do? And I think we've been a little bit more deliberate about what we're doing and the trajectory, and I feel like what we've learned is how to help people better.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to direct assistance, I understand that the applications are not currently open, but you are preparing for the next group. Beth, how are you doing that? And what should people know about applying when that application window opens?
Well, what we're preparing to do right now is we're trying to raise the funds. Throughout the year, and especially in the second half of the year, we're really looking for the community to help us support the Mutual Aid Fund specifically. And so here very soon, we will start to have specific asks for people to donate to our Mutual Aid Fund. And when the we'll be opening the applications in the wintertime. We think it's really important, especially in the winter, to keep folks housed. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes time to the application, that'll be this winter. And we are doing in-person applications. So we're partnering with organizations who are also serving trans folks and have they already have a network of folks. And so we're going to places that are already serving trans folks so that we're meeting them where they're at. And can do a short little 5 or 10 minute sit down with them. It's very low barrier. They don't have to provide any type of ID or anything like that, or proof of anything. Mm-hmm. We just need to know who they are, what they're going through, and how, you know, what kind of help that they need.
Yeah. So let's say in 5 years, where do you hope to see Thistle at that time? In 1 minute each, Maxi.
I think there's two ways. One, we're non-existent because every trans person has a house, right?
That's put yourself out of business, right? Yeah. Right.
That's the goal. Uh-huh. But ultimately, you know, having a brick and mortar and really having a space where people can come in and drop in and really connect with us, and minimizing it to as close to zero as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I think that. Ultimately, our mission is to make sure that people can get into housing, can stay housed, and, you know, potentially move into home ownership. And so either through partnership or creation of our own, we really need to create that space where people can come to at any stage of economic mobility or housing, and mm-hmm. we'll be able to help them get that forward momentum.
Mm-hmm. And very quickly, Beth, there's an event that's happening on August 7th?
Yes, absolutely. August 7th, we have our Purple Gala. Maxi's producing the show and emceeing.
Yeah, we bought elected officials to come in. We have a whole trans cast of live music, drag queens, drag kings, and it's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be at Red Flag, and hope people can come.
And all trans and gender nonconforming cast.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Maxi Glamour is Thistle co-founder and the organization's board president, and Beth Gombas is also a co-founder and executive director. Thank you both for joining us today, and good luck with your event.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.